workplace violence, workplace harassment of sexual nature for many, very sadly. That is a reality. Now, just last month, the International Labour Conference in Geneva adopted a new convention and recommendation called the Convention Concerning the Elimination of Violence and Harassment in the World of Work. And it looks to eradicate these as practices. I've got Tamsanqa Mila is an associate in employment practice at Cliftecker Hofmeyer, their legal firm, on the line with us. Very good morning to you. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning and morning to your listeners.
Easier said than done, saying by citing a bit of paper that you're going to eradicate these as practices. What is that convention hoping to achieve?
The convention is hoping to achieve conscientizing and making aware of people and countries and their signatories to the right of a free, a right of a workplace that is free of discrimination, safe for everyone to go and work, because sexual harassment specifically in South Africa, for instance, is considered as a form of discrimination. So it's trying to encourage signatory countries to eradicate those practices in the workplace.
All right. I know the courts have ruled on this in this country in one judgment, and I quote, sexual harassment is the most heinous misconduct that plagues the workplace. What, though, is sexual harassment? Because very many people, I think, get caught up in it without realizing that it's actually what is at play.
Sexual harassment has a few characteristics. So it has to be conduct that is sexual in nature, that is unwanted. It can be physical, it can be verbal, it can be non-verbal. It must impair the victim's dignity. So those are the elements of what the definition of sexual harassment would be. So catcalling would, for instance, be part of that in the workplace, or slapping someone in the buttocks, for instance.
And also, any kind of unwanted or uninvited physical contact. So some colleagues insist on hugging and kissing everybody in the office, for instance. And it gets tolerated because people don't want to ruffle any feathers or upset anybody. But, I mean, that could be seen also as a form of sexual harassment.
It is, and I think it links quite well to the quotation that you just made out about it being the most heinous form of misconduct, because of the social norms that we want to impart in the workplace that come from outside. Catcalling most of the time is not a problem in society, but in the workplace it's not tolerated. So hugs and kisses that are not received well by your fellow colleagues must stop, especially if they communicate to you that they do not appreciate those gestures.
Often, and it's obviously sensitivity around either reprimanding people or pointing it out to them. Often the defense on the part of people who are perpetrators is, well, nobody told me, so I thought it was okay. You know, if the first time it happened, the person had said no, I would never have continued doing it. What would almost the responsibility of the person who feels affronted, whose dignity is impaired, what would his or her responsibility be?
So the first thing is usually the perpetrator in this instance is a line manager or someone senior, which is the reason why people don't come forward. But their avenues, and I think this the responsibility lies more on the employer than the person who's the victim, is to conscientize them and make them aware of the different areas or avenues within the workplace that they can go to report. Maybe whistleblow and tip off, maybe tell a colleague to go tell HR or go to HR directly, and then the process of resolving the grievance can start or can begin from there.
Mm-hmm. Depending on your workplace environment, the perpetrator might not always just be a staff member or a colleague. I mean, they're external service providers that often sit sort of within the workplace environment, and they are pretty much as much of a problem.
Yes, they are a problem, and the Employment Equity Act and the Code of Good Practice on Sexual Harassment also protects employees from misconduct arising from those people. So people who come and deliver your birthday gifts, people who come and deliver your online shopping, your electrical suppliers who come and fix your light bulbs at work, even those people, if you become or fall victim to sexual harassment at their instance, you have the right to go and report that to the employer, and the employer must take steps to correct that.
All right. And I suppose there are very many employers listening to this, or people who would represent employers, saying, how the hell do we police what external service providers do? We can try and create a culture within the organization, but literally, you know, if the guy sorting out the electricity starts harassing my staff, why am I liable for that?
So the first thing you do as an employer is you develop a sexual harassment policy. And after you develop your sexual harassment policy, you educate your employees on that sexual harassment policy. And so in the instance of an electrical supplier or a delivery guy coming and offending one of your employees, they know firstly that they have a right and they can be protected by their employer. And the employer may inform, for instance, the service provider that XYZ has done this to one of my employees. It is not welcome. And maybe if the employee wants an apology, could your firm or your company tender an apology? That might be one way of resolving.
All right, I'm going to park it there for now, just in the interest of time. But it's an incredibly important discussion. Thanks to Tamsanqa Mila, is an associate in the employment practice at Cliffdekker Hofmeyr, just outlining to, for us what the rights are, the kinds of things that we can claim either as a defense or, more importantly, the kind of things we can insist on that must happen. Appreciate his time with us this morning right here on Hot Breakfast. Aiden.